Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today became a copyright lawyer 20 years ago when his father, a famous Russian composer, heard his music being played in an ad on the radio without his permission. He spent the first 8 years of his legal career in Russia working for one of the largest legal firms in the world. But in 2007, he moved to Canada, went back to law school for another 3 years, and then received his Canadian legal license. He then focused on building his practice, Minkov Law, until the summer of 2015, when he then gave up his license to move his business fully online and help more clients. He is now the founder of Trademark Factory, a service that aims to make trademarking your simple idea fast and efficient. My guest believes if your idea is worth promoting, then it's worth protecting. Now, let's hack. Andrei Minkov. Do you want to get 1,000 email subscribers, turn them into raving maniacs, and create a product they will love? Then it is time to find your maniacs. And I have created 1,000 maniacs specifically for you. I will show you exactly how I went from zero to 1,000 email subscribers and how to create and sell your first product with the Tiny Product System. 1,000 Maniacs will teach you everything you need to know about setting up an email list, autoresponders, what to send and when, developing a relationship with that list, and how to create what your maniacs want and sell it to them. Claim your free roadmap right now. Go to 1000maniacs.com and get on the list to get priority access when I open the doors. That's 1000maniacs.com. 1000maniacs.com. Go right now and get on the list. Your maniacs are waiting. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest. Andrei, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. This is going to be a blast.
Well, thank you.
Let's jump straight into it, Andrei.
Ready.
As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Learning. Hands down, learning. For most of my life, I used to think that I was not made to be an entrepreneur. And I kind of had no choice other than to start my own firm when I moved to Canada and went through my second law school here and got my license, only to realize that nobody wanted to hire me. And that's when I picked up Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that was really my beginning of everything. And I read the book and I'm like, so when he says that employment income is the most insecure type of income, looks like he wrote the book about me, because I just got back from, you know, this situation when I was a hotshot lawyer in Russia with the biggest law firm in the world, came to Canada, got my license, and nobody would trust me to review a $500 agreement. I'm like, so where do I go from here? And I started the firm really with the idea that if I can't make this work to at least, you know, sustain myself and my family, it would mean that I really suck as a lawyer. And really, that was the extent of my knowledge about all of those things. And very quickly, I realized that my success as a law firm had very little to do with my brilliance and my excellence as a lawyer, and everything to do with my ability to market myself, to you know, be a good sales guy, and really to be a good systems guy, and the guy who can just build this as a business. And I had absolutely no preparedness for this other than my perseverance and my desire to learn those things, right? And for most of my life, I used to think that I really suck as a marketer and suck as a sales guy. But I was focusing on this and focusing on that. And probably about a year ago, I realized, you know what? I think I'm actually getting better. And no, it wasn't a year. So I started getting that thought. I was getting better probably a couple of years ago. And about a year ago, I thought, like, I'm actually getting pretty good at that. And, you know, I'm starting to get compliments. I'm like, you know what? Everything is a learnable skill if you put your mind to it and your efforts to it. And that will probably be the number one thing that I learned.
So how hard was that to convince yourself, though? Like, coming from, as a hotshot lawyer from Russia, coming here, having to go to law school again to get a Canadian law degree, and then not being hired, then picking up this book and having this book at least tell you that you don't want just that kind of income anyways from a job because it's the least secure there is. So you have this confidence that, oh, well, this is actually a good direction to go, but it's also the only direction I have a chance of going right now. But you also probably didn't feel like an entrepreneur at that point. You were a really good lawyer. Two very different things, entrepreneurship and being a lawyer. So how did you sort of convince yourself that you could learn this stuff and that learning was the path that was going to take you to where you needed to be?
Well, as I said, it was kind of a forced decision, but it was a blessing in disguise because when I was making that decision, I just, you know, I sent out a bunch of resumes, got no offers, and I'm like, now what? Do I go back to Russia? Do I starve? or do I start on my own? Really, those were the options. And so I started on my own and built a website. There's a lot of things that I love doing, right? And one of them is coding. And so I wrote my first website and started figuring out how do I make sure that people see it and what do I do in terms of, you know, tweaking the offer so that I become the one that people go to. And it just became really, you know, organically in a transition from just saying I'm the best lawyer in the world to here's why you should buy from me. And the more I was doing it, the more I was, the other thing that I'm really good at is automating things, right? Every single time I would do the same thing more than three times, I'd focus on finding a way to automate this, right? Automate or systemize it. And I was seeing that a lot of things I was doing were virtually the same. And I was trying to figure out how do I optimize it? How do I automate this? And this is how I came up with the idea of Trademark Factory. So from just, you know, it being a law firm that was helping people with their intellectual property issues, Trademark Factory, I'm like, it's a good name and I can make it into a good offer. And, you know, all of this was very slow. In terms of me trying to figure out things and trying to learn things. And for most of the time, especially in the beginning, I was doing everything on my own, right? I was reading books, I was going to webinars, I was going to seminars, I was doing this, and wasn't asking people who knew how to do it the right questions, because I thought that, you know, I'm the only one that's going through something like this. And only when I really opened my mind to learning, that's when I started, you know, asking other people and just learning 20 times faster.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And you say it's taken a long time, but I think it's only been about 5 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So it hasn't been that long, really. Just so you know, for you, it might seem like it's been a long time, but you've come a long way since then. And well,
everybody wants to make it faster, right?
Of course. And I love I love the idea of just most lawyers are literally like more like a freelancer, where they only want to work doing the work that they do. Law. I just want to do law. They have their own practice, but only for the point that they can bring in clients and just do the work. They don't think in that entrepreneurial way of like, how do I learn the marketing? How do I position an offer better like you did? And then you're right, Trademark Factory is a brilliant name. So can you explain this sort of transition? Because we've got to it, but the listener doesn't quite have it. So law as a thing in Canada, which I think is very similar to the States, you can only work and price within certain parameters. And so 20 years of legal work, and then last summer you gave up your license.
Yeah, I did. So with Trademark Factory, what I did is I kind of looked back to what clients hate about dealing with lawyers in terms of trademarks. And I try to come up with a way that would address all of those issues. And to me, the first thing I realized is that with trademarks, nobody really cares how long it takes me to get their trademark registered. It's kind of a binary thing. They either get one or they don't. And I wanted to kind of go the opposite way, right? What Dan Kennedy says is, look what everybody else is doing and do the opposite, right? So with trademarks, a lot of firms really what they're doing is they're trying to create a unique case for every possible trademark application and charge a shitload of money because of that. Mm-hmm. And with us, what I decided that we're going to make trademarks simple to understand and simple to get. I never said cheap to get, but they have to be understandable and they have to be simple for it to work. So this is how I came up with the idea of one flat fee that would cover everything from start to finish. And then the next one was to come up with the idea of why don't we even add 100% money back guarantee on top of that to make it even easier. And nobody was doing anything like that. Nobody's doing anything like this still. And I was running this in Canada, and then we could also file trademarks in US for Canadians. And at some point in time, I realized, well, if we can file US trademarks for Canadians, how do we file US trademarks for everybody else? Because obviously, most people file their trademarks in Canada who are not Canadian. Most people file US trademarks who are not Canadians. And I started looking at all those rules and regulations that are designed to, as they say, protect the public, but really has nothing to do with that, but everything to do with control. And I started to build a way, a kind of a model. How do I allow myself to help more people with Trademark Factory way, do their trademarks with a flat fee, with 100% money back guarantee, without breaking all those rules? And realized that the only way to do that was to give up my Canadian lawyer license. And so something that I've spent so much time getting, you know, the 3 years of my life getting through Canadian law school, one more year to get the, you know, through the bar exam and all of those things. And I'm like, I don't really need to be a lawyer to do that. And that was a decision that was probably the biggest step out of my comfort zone. Maybe the next one after I decided to leave my successful career as a Russian lawyer and move to Canada and start from scratch. But what it forced me to do is to stop thinking as a lawyer, as in what else can I personally do to make it more appealing to the client? And how do I build this into a system where other people who work for me can deliver? And, you know, that was a huge step. For example, what we used to have is what we call anti-procrastination incentive, right? So we get a client request, we show them what we can do for them. And in order to speed things up, in order to nudge them to make their decision quicker, would have a few bonuses. And one of those bonuses was, or used to be, 3 hours of legal advice outside of the trademarking process, but within my competence, within intellectual property industry, and would be giving those out routinely. And when I gave up the lawyer license, I couldn't do that myself anymore because I was not a lawyer. And so my next question is, so that would mean that I'd have to actually pay somebody to do this. I'm like, I don't want to pay anybody to do this because I'd like to keep the money to myself. And the next question is, but I don't want to pay anybody. And then the next thing is, Andre, so what that meant is that what this means is that all this time you were valuing your time as zero, as worthless. I'm like, it isn't. So we, you know, removed that offer right away. And everything else that I'm building right now is build on the premise that, you know, my time is not worthless, my time is valuable. And we're building this as a system that would bring value to the client, to bring the client to us, right? So it's kind of a huge transition.
Yeah. I love the anti-procrastination incentive though.
And we tell the client that's how it's called, and everybody laughs, and you know, whenever they laugh, it's a good sign.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. And just, I mean, the idea of thinking about that like a lawyer. And so giving up your law license, and after all the work, and after, I mean, this is something that people obviously spend their life trying to become a lawyer because it's a great job. And then you've done it really well in two different countries now. And then you give it up to start Trademark Factory so you can work across borders and do it the way that it should be done, which is breaking new ground for law. But it's something that me as like a digital entrepreneur at this point, it's so valuable to have people that are finally willing, professionals that are finally willing to stop doing things the old way and do it in this new direction is amazing. but you say that it was one of the hardest decisions. So how did you make this decision? Like, how did you decide that this was the right path for you to go? And was there sort of, is there a plan B if you give up your law license and this doesn't work out in a year or 2 years, whatever you give yourself, how hard is it to go back to law?
Okay, so I was thinking about this for some time, several months, and I was researching whether, you know, this would actually, A, be the only way to get me where I want to go, and B, whether, you know, that would be helpful, right? And second thing, I was asking my mentors here and there, and most of them said, why do you need to do it? Because nobody really could believe that giving up the license is the path of being able to help more people, you know, get their trademarking in place, which honestly makes zero sense, right? Unless you read the Legal Profession Act in BC and the, you know, BC Law Society rules. And when I explained to them why that had to be done, they said, give it up. And so I called the Law Society and asked them, so if I'm making the biggest mistake of my life, what would it take for me to go back? And they said, well, if you just make that decision within 3 years after you give up the license, all you have to do is write an application and ask us and we'll give it back to you. I'm like, huh. So that kind of makes sense. But what it also meant is that I had to write a letter to all of my existing clients and inform them of the change, because it's a change of the status. And so that was the biggie, right? And we're all trained that lawyers are supposed to be, you know, even though everybody hates them, it's supposed to have this privilege of other people, you know, entrusting you their important things and stuff. So when I wrote that letter, basically I said, you know, we're no longer a law firm. I'm no longer a lawyer. If you hired me because I had this laminated piece of paper, then we won't be able to help you anymore. I mean, everything we promised you, we're going to deliver. If we can't deliver it ourselves, I'm going to pay somebody else to do it. So don't worry. But if that piece of paper is the only reason why you chose us, we'll be happy to pass your file along to somebody else. And it took me about a week to draft that letter. And when I sent it out, the feedback we got in response was just overwhelming. You know, we got so many amazing letters from our clients. You know, it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because everybody said, not one client left us. And
wow,
the quarter next to the one where I gave up the license was the best quarter we've ever had. And so am I thinking of going back? No. But again, what it does is it forces me to stop, you know, doing things on my own, start and really focus on, I'm building this as an entrepreneur, as a business guy, rather than I'm building this as somebody who can do everything on his own. And I wasn't doing, you know, most of the trademarking on my own for a long time, but the stuff outside of it was still something I was doing, right? The license agreements and this and that. And I remember going to an event, a networking event, soon after I gave up the license. That was funny because for about a month, I had to always mention this. I was a lawyer, now I'm a lawyer, not a lawyer anymore. I had to almost convince myself that this is now a reality rather than just an idea. And I remember this conversation with a lady who goes, well, Andre, what is it that you do? And I'm like, well, we do trademarks, right? I run Trademark Factory. We do trademarks with a, you know, flat fee and money back guarantee. And she goes, oh, that's very interesting. And what else do you do? And I'm like, nothing. That's the only thing that I do. And it felt so good to be able to say that, because it used to be, well, we can also help you with this and we can also help you with that. And it never kind of had that focus of being able to say, you know what, that's the only thing that we do. And but we're really good at that. So it helped us build the, you know, the narrow down the niche even more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Got your focus on the one thing. And it almost seems, Andre, like you implemented your own anti-procrastination incentive.
yeah.
You forced yourself to to go in the direction that you knew was the better direction to go. But before, as you said, when you met somebody networking, you could say, well, I also can do this and this and this and this. But really, all you wanted to do was the trademarking. Now you forced yourself. No more procrastinating. Here it goes.
Yeah.
And you have 3 years to make it work or else you can turn around, I guess. So at the beginning, Andre, you said hands down learning is your one thing. You also said that if you do anything more than three times, you automate it or systematize it. So those are your things that you do, your one thing that you're really good at. Now, every expert talks about 80-20 rule in business. So you do 20% of the work and you get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest, like you say you are very good at. So could you tell me something, Andre, within your business that you were absolutely not good at?
Well, this is the thing that's evolving, really, because when I look back at all the notes that I took at my seminars and webinars several years ago, I would tell you that it's the selling part or the negotiation part. And now I certainly don't count that as my weakness. So today, I guess, let me think about it. Mm-hmm. I guess really the only thing that I want to get better at significantly is just speeding things up. And so one of the things I learned from my mentor is to focus on things, many things simultaneously rather than look at them sequentially. And what I do find sometimes is that I still have this idea that, oh, you know what, once this is done, then I'm going to start doing this and then I'm going to start doing that. And instead, the focus should be, about doing several things at the same time. And, obviously that forces you to have other people help you with them, right? And that's, that was a very unexpected question. I know I'm not really answering it.
Yeah, no, but there's no right or wrong answer, man. I'm really trying to not even necessarily get an answer from you, but just kind of make you, think of that, because I think it's almost as important to know what our weaknesses are as to know our strengths in this game, right? Because it's usually our weaknesses that we try and avoid, and those are the things that can hold us back.
I guess really the weakness is, actually, I know the answer to your question. And the answer would be trying to do too many things on my own rather than go ask the right questions. And as an example of that would be very interesting. Well, at least to me, it was very educational because I was writing this letter and that I thought was very important. And then I go on and show it to my wife, and who's not a business owner, she's not in business at all. She's a mom, right? She's the best mom ever. But I still sometimes use her to just kind of bounce ideas off. And she reads the letter and says, yeah, well, it's a good letter, but why don't you show it to Dan? And Dan is the mentor. And I'm like, why didn't I think about this? I mean, this makes perfect sense. I have a mentor and, spending all this time doing it myself and then I'm showing it to you rather than go ask the person who's sent thousands of those letters, right? And so this idea that I'm not on my own, that I can go ask questions to speed things up, it's something I still need to learn, right? Just to be open to ask questions early rather than when everything is perfect and then I'm kind of asking the questions to get a confirmation,
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And you're not the only one. I've heard this explained as it's one thing to have a coach, but it's another thing completely to learn how to be coachable, meaning to always not hesitate and ask those questions rather than getting stuck and getting that guidance. And I think that's a key thing. So, all right, so you've spent the past, it's going to be 6 months, I guess, or 7 months now with Trademark Factory full time and giving up your legal practice. What do you see as the biggest channel for growth for Trademark Factory at this point?
We need to be seen by more eyeballs. I know we have the best offer on the market, and I know that there are 500,000 trademarks filed in the US every year, 550,000 trademarks filed in Canada every year. So what we need to do is to get in the path of those business owners who value their brands, right? Our tagline is, if it's worth promoting, it's worth protecting, right? And so the challenge is, how do we make sure that entrepreneurs who are building their new thing, who are confident that they're building their next big thing, who are passionate about their brands, who are passionate about their businesses, how do we make sure that they know that we exist? And the way I've built things on my end is that we are inherently scalable, right? So if we get 10 times more requests compared to what we get today, the great thing is it won't take us a long time to be able to accommodate all of that. And so that's really the challenge. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I was always looking to, you know, do the interviews, do the guest blogs, and just put my name out there just to show business owners that trademarking doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to mean that you're going to deal with lawyers who are going to bill you every time they sneeze on your file, right? So that's really the challenge. How do we speed up the process of getting known by the industry?
Yeah, and you're exactly right, because I am literally in the middle of having a trademark done for Hack the Entrepreneur. Well, it's been done like 6 months ago, but it's still this process. And it was so expensive and such a pain in the ass. But every time I did searches to find it, I never heard about Trademark Factory. And that's a damn shame, because I totally would have 100% went with you, because it makes such perfect sense. And that's why I wanted you to have you on the show, because it's a brilliant service.
Thank you.
But when I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. I didn't know what I was looking for, obviously, but I was looking for just not a regular, boring old lawyer doing it the regular, old boring ways, because I'm online and I don't want to deal with that. But yeah. I have to now.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. All right, Andre, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you. So it's this idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we're always projecting our successes into the future. And like, you know, with the horizon, as you walk towards the horizon always gets further and further away, much like our goals and the things we want to accomplish in our business. You'll set some sort of metric 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year down the road. And right before you hit that goal, you're going to set bigger, loftier ones in the future. And we oftentimes, although we need goals and we need to push ourselves as entrepreneurs, we never see ourselves as successful, but from the outside, people seem to see us as more successful than we ever see ourselves. So, Andre, I would love right now if you could stop and turn around and look behind you at where you've come from in the past 20 years as a lawyer, and then transitioning into entrepreneur and now full-on entrepreneur, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses. I would love to know how you feel about your entrepreneurial career up until today.
This have been the most exciting years of my life. When I got to Canada and got my license and couldn't get anywhere with it, those were probably the most frustrating years of my life, because it's been quite a change. And as soon as I made that decision that I'm building something on my own, every single day of my life has been a blessing, because I am seeing this grow. I am really interested in how things are going to turn out, because pretty much everything I do has consequences, right? It either works or it doesn't. And it's been an absolute blessing. And one of those events that I attended a couple of years ago, it was Warrior Camp, really great event. And as part of that, as it was closing, I realized that there's a bigger goal that drives me with all of this. And that is, I would really like my kids to be able to, tell a story about me to their kids. And I think that everything I'm doing, really, I'm trying to do through the prism of that idea, that big idea, is, what I'm doing worth retelling. Yeah. And, that's a big one for me. And I'm working very hard to get there.
Nice. I love it. I love it. All right, Andre, this has been a total blast. We've got to mention your business and Trademark Factory in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener the pitch for your business and also where to find more about you?
Sure. So the pitch is short and sweet. Trademark Factory is currently the only firm in the world where you can get your trademarks done with a free comprehensive trademark search, so you don't waste money on trying to protect brands that can't be protected. So we're going to do a proper trademark search. It's not an automated search. The professional's doing the search for you and walking you through the report, whether or not this brand is trademarkable and why, for free. And then we have a package that's called All Inclusive that covers everything from start to finish with one flat fee. and we do trademarks currently in Canada, US, and European Union. We're adding other countries by the end of the year. And also that package comes with 100% money back guarantee. Nobody else does anything like that. And so the way to get started is to go to trademarkfactory.com and fill out the form requesting a free trademark search from us. And we're going to take it from there. There's no strings attached to that trademark search. We do it to be able to kind of give you a glimpse of what the Trademark Factory experience is like. And during those calls, when we walk you through the report, really you get to pick our brain on your strategy, on your trademarking strategy, and decide what needs to be done. But if you feel that there's no fit between how we do things and how you want them done, there's no obligation on your end.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So if you are working out right now, if you're driving, if you're walking your dog, I will put all these links in the show notes for you. So when you're back at your computer, you can find them at Hack the Entrepreneur. So trademarkfactory.com. Andre's also on LinkedIn. I'll put you there. And definitely check out Trademark Factory because it is a brilliant service. Plus, as you mentioned, how Rich Dad, Poor Dad was like a transformative read for you. It was for me too. And I often forget about it because it's been a while now. But I'm going to link to that because if you haven't had a chance to read that and had that transformative read, then you should definitely do that.
There's two more books. I would, you know.
There's the Quadrant.
The E-Myth and the Build to Sell. Those three books would probably are the basis of why I'm building Trademark Factory the way I'm building it.
Nice. Nice. Build to Sell. That's John. He was just on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And E-Myth is a classic book as well. So I will link to those, all three books. That's the package right there. That's all you need. So Andre, thank you so much again for taking the time to join me today. It's been a real blast. And please keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I thank you, Andre, for stopping by again. And I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I don't know if you get as frustrated as I do with lawyers and accountants, just in general, they all want to just stay the same as things have always been for the past 50 years or 100 years. And that really means like fax machines and printing everything. It's so frustrating and just annoys me to no end as a business owner. And I love Andre's story of taking law and productizing it online and then having to give up something he went to law school twice in Russia and then in Canada because we wouldn't let him here be a lawyer without a Canadian law degree, which is insane in itself. But then we did that and he did that and he did well, but he wanted to do things like be able to help Americans and people in the UK and also to productize his service and be able to, and the legal profession, I don't know the intricacies of it, but it really ties, I think, your hands a lot, where to the point where you can't do a lot of things outside of the traditional way. And Andre just said, screw it, got rid of his license and was going out and doing something really, really valuable, something really, really cool, and something that I think is going to work really, really, really well for him. So I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I got to go back through the conversation. And when I went back the first time, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things that I wanted to go back to. So I went back through and I got it down to 5. And then I got it down to 4. Then there was 3. Then there was 2. I listened one more time and there was this one thing that Andre said. It just really, really, really stood out to me. One thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
One of the things I learned from my mentor is to focus on things, many things simultaneously rather than look at them sequentially. And what I do find sometimes is that I still have this idea that, oh, you know what, once this is done, then I'm going to start doing this and then I'm going to start doing that. And instead, the focus should be, about doing several things at the same time. And, obviously that forces you to have other people help you with them.
And that's the hack. Andre, I like this. I like this a lot. The first time I went back to this, I disagreed with it. Then I went back and listened to it again, and I disagreed with you. And that's cool. We can disagree. That's fine. But there's, so I've been a huge proponent of doing one thing, doing the one thing that will move you forward today so that the rest of your week, your month, your year, your business in general gets easier and better, right? It follows the whole, I think it's Gary Keller, the book, The One Thing. And it's a great, brilliant sort of system and a way of thinking. And I've been really into breaking everything down from projects to almost anything I want to do into as many small pieces as possible, literally physically on my desk with post-it notes that are everywhere, and then moving them to Trello boards on Trello. And it's helped me really just do the next thing, do the next thing. But then at the very end of this, when you say, you also used to think sequentially, like one thing after the other, rather than simultaneously. And then you say, because this forces you to put other people in place, to hire other people, even to hire contractors to do certain things and to kind of, you can start it in motion and then have other people. This is leverage and scale. And this is why I really, 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 really like this, because you're so right. And this is what I've been, I haven't been guilty of this, like with like businesses and like with Velocity Page and stuff, where I've had co-founders and we can do things that kind of scale in that way. But with Hack the Entrepreneur, it's been me. Like I have an editor, I have an assistant, and I have different, those kinds of people and some contractors around me. But other things, as the business has grown, I've been sort of the bottleneck of it. And I think it's because I've often been thinking in this sequential way, just like the one thing in Gary Keller, like I've talked about so many times. And I think you might have just made me change my mind and see it in a different way, where it's still, it's sequential, but with multiple things simultaneously. So meaning that some new idea I have for getting more people to listen to my show, or for promoting a new course, or finding new sponsors for my show, I can sort of get it going, create the SOP, like the standard operating procedure, and then put somebody in place to do that so that multiple things are going on at once around me. And I really dig this. This is smart. Your mentor is smart, Andre. And I thank you for sharing, because this is, yeah, I'm going through this right now in my head, but I think that this is really, really beneficial to us all. So as much as I've said the one thing, focus on your one thing, but then focus on handing that off to, you don't need like to have, you don't have to have an employee. Trust me, you can have contractors that you can hire on Upwork, on Fiverr, on 99 Designs, on so many different places that can literally do one specific little task for you over and over and over again. Something that they'll even do it better than you can do it. That's a big thing to learn, is that you don't have to be an expert at all these things. You can hire somebody who's a better writer than you. You can hire somebody who's better at editing than you. You can hire somebody who is better at marketing on Facebook for you. You could. There's so many things that people are better than you at, and you can just put the idea into place and then let it run and have multiple ones running simultaneously. This is awesome. Thank you, Andre. Thank you. All right. It's been a blast. I thank you so much for stopping by. As always, it's very, very, very cool of you. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. I wonder if you can remember that. If you are on Apple device right now, that'd be awesome. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. It'll take you right to the page to leave a review. And I would appreciate it so very, very much. It helps the show a ton. And yeah, it would just be cool. If you also have a Twitter name or a Twitter handle, you're at Twitter name, I would love to see it in the review so that I can then go to Twitter and thank you. I would like to do that. And that would be cool. So hacktheentrepreneur.com/review will take you right to the page to leave a review. It takes like 2 minutes and 12 seconds, I believe. If it takes you even less, I don't know, let me know. I'd like to know. All right. It's been fun. I thank you for stopping by. I truly do. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.